If you are politically correct or easily offended, move on to another show. But if you want to hear the truth, keep listening. Brothers at Arms starts right now.
When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat.
We gather tonight at a dramatic and deeply promising time in our history and in the history of man on Earth.
So they don't. Nobody wants to rock the boat. Nobody wants to change. Don't change anything. And we're in a nice downward glide. I call it circling the drain.
We reward stupidity in this country. We reward people with multi-million dollar TV contracts so that all the other stupid people can sit around and watch how stupid these people are. Stupidity is a virtue in this country.
These people are psychopaths to the worst order.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
You are listening to Brothers at Arms with Ira Robinson and Joe Long. This show airs Thursday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. The cold hard truth has no fear on this show.
I think Americans have worked extremely hard not to see the criminality that their officials and their policymakers have exhibited.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and germs, people of all ages. You are listening to Brothers at Arms, and my name is Ira Robinson.
And this is Joe Long, wanted to welcome you once again into the insanity that is us.
Absolutely. And before we begin tonight, we want to warn people, if you are easily offended, turn the show off, move on to another show. Tonight we're going to have a very divisive kind of topic, and one that, has been getting a lot of attention of late, and that would be the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that has been taking place in our home state, Indiana. So you're going to hear opposing views, basically, for probably the first time on Brothers at Arms, that we're going to be very vehemently against each other kind of thing on this episode tonight. But
you
anyways,
know, it's probably a good thing that you and I are separated by quite a few miles, because more than likely we'd probably be trying to slap each other the way we did in one of the old video blogs that we did.
Oh, absolutely. There would definitely be claws flying on this episode tonight.
Yeah, definitely. And I will say, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we don't pull our punches on this show. We don't hide the truth. We don't varnish our opinions. And if you don't like it,
lump it.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so you guys out there are getting fairly warned before this episode even begins that this is a very sensitive topic. It's a topic that has become a hot button across America, and, we're not afraid to cover it. So there you go. So, Joe, I am going to give you the honors of starting all of this rigmarole out. And by the way, this is not the only topic that we're going to cover tonight, probably. We do have a couple of others that we're going to talk about as well, but this will definitely be the main forte for the evening. So yeah. the main dish, so to speak. So Joe, why don't you serve us up a nice hot steaming pile of crap? I mean, why don't you give us your opinion of things?
All right. Well, for those of you who've been living under a rock for the last week and don't know what the heck we're talking about, Indiana's Governor Mike Pence, along with our state legislature, has passed this Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which in a nutshell states that no private business can be penalized or sued or otherwise made to feel any repercussions because they refuse service to anyone if it conflicts with their religious viewpoints. Now, on the surface of this law, I say, congratulations. Finally, we have somebody that, you know, we have a law that states that you can't, that people, just because they get easily offended because somebody doesn't want to do business with them, they can't sue them and take their business away. Once you dig a little deeper, and I have done my due diligence on this law, unlike when I was speaking about it on Ira's show, Open Eyes, on Monday. Yes, there are issues with this law, but the law itself fundamentally is something that I believe is needed, because most of this law is aimed at the LGBT community. For those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgenders.
And usually they toss a Q in there for queer as well, but yeah, go ahead.
Well, queer? That's an offensive term.
No, they've owned it.
Oh, yeah, they definitely own it.
It's now the LGBTQ. That's how they refer to themselves. So, yeah, anyways, go ahead.
We're here. We're queer.
Deal with it.
Wait a minute. Exactly. Hey, we warned you, people. We warned you right at the beginning.
Tonight's episode is going to be all about the fun. Can you say fun? I knew you could. Anyways, go ahead.
Hey, you better watch it. When that man was alive, he was the most prolific sniper in Vietnam. I would live in Fred Rogers' neighborhood, dude. I would live in Fred, because somebody broke in my house, I'd be like, yo, Fred, headshot, boom,
Freddy.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, now, yes, that is kind of it in a nutshell. But go ahead. I know you have a little bit more that you want to add. So,
yeah. Now, when this law was passed, it has created, quite literally, a freaking firestorm. And it's not coming from the 95% of the LGBT community. It's not coming from the 95% of the straight community. It is coming from the 5% of the militant LGBT community. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what really irks the living snotballs right out of me. It's once again, as we have stated on this show, fanaticism, extremism. And it's coming from the other side of it is the 5% of the straight community that is just as militant on the other side. Now, I've got several stories that are linked up to the show notes for this show,
which you guys will find at openeyesnetwork.com/BA004.
Wow, this is our 1 month anniversary.
Yes, it is.
Wow. And including up to and including a post from a man I really don't, a Facebook post from a man that I really don't like to disagree with. He is actually one of my personal heroes, George Takei. For those of you who do not know who George Takei is, he is Lieutenant Sulu, or Captain Sulu, depending on when you started watching Star Trek. And I am going to read this to you, folks. Friends, I'm excited to see the list of businesses, civil, and cultural leaders who support #BoycottIndiana growing. Charles Barkley has stated the NCAA should move the Final Four out of the state of Indiana. Salesforce.com has canceled all events and meetings there. AngiesList.com put a $40 million expansion in Indiana on hold. And the cities of Seattle and San Francisco have canceled all city employee travel to the state.
And by the way, the city of New York has now done that as well.
Our message and collective effort are taking hold. Only the continued threat of economic consequences can bring Governor Pence and the legislatures to their senses. This legislation was enacted as lobbyists for the bill declared as a direct result of the marriage equality becoming law in Indiana after a federal suit. To those good Hoosiers fighting the good fight from within, we know that you'll feel some pain, but we must maintain pressure from outside as well. Tonight, I say this to Governor Pence. There is a way out. Ask your state legislature to repeal the law. You say you'd like to clarify how the law affects the LBGTs.
but you truly do not intend the, whoops, I'm reading it here and I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything. Do not intend the law to discriminate. I challenge you to enact a statewide comprehensive anti-discrimination bill to protecting LGBT persons, similar to those already in place for race, religion, and gender, national origin, and other classes, just like your sister state, Illinois, does. I suspect you will not do so because your law was always aimed to harm the LGBTs, but I hope you prove me wrong and that you remove the venom from this terrible legislation. Now, this was posted on Saturday, I believe, just before Governor Pence signed the bill. And since then...
No, Pence signed it on last Thursday is when he did it.
Okay, then that was posted on Saturday after the bill was signed. Now, this Boycott Indiana, yes, we have economic pressure being brought to bear. The NCAA cannot move the Final Four out of Indianapolis. One, it starts this weekend. They don't have enough time. Two, they have a contract with the state of Indiana to hold the Final Four in Indiana every 4 to 6 years. And that was a deal made by the NCAA when they moved their headquarters to Indiana. Now, as far as these cities banning state employees from traveling to the state of Indiana, if it's on state business, fine. But if they're coming to Indiana for, say, the NCAA tournament, they can stick it in their ear.
Yeah, it's all about the ones that are being funded by the state. It's not including personal travel. It's the ones that are state-sponsored travels to and from the state. Another one that's added to the list as well is Gen Con, which is one of the major conventions that takes place worldwide. It takes place in Indianapolis, Indiana, and it is all about like the role-playing games, video games, that sort of thing. All of that takes place down in Indianapolis as well, and they have said that they will not be doing it as long as the bill or the law is in place.
And there you're wrong, because I've read that article. Gen Con is considering moving, but they have a contract till the year 2025. They are locked into a contract till the year 2025 at the Conseco Fieldhouse. So Gen Con can, by the time that Gen Con's contract is up, the firestorm for this is going to be over. The controversy for this is going to be over. And they will have moved, the LGBT community will move on to beating up on somebody else. Now, I have gay and lesbian friends. Ira has got gay and lesbian friends. Don't you?
Yes, I do. I have quite a few of them, actually. Yeah.
And for the most part, most of the LGBT community, they look at this like, huh? What? What in the world's going on? We don't know what's going on. We're told to protest. We're protesting. Now, the thing is, yes, this law does primarily target gays, and lesbians. But the intent, the original intent of this law was to protect Indiana businesses from being sued like has happened in California, like has happened in Washington, like has happened in New York, where they also have these, you know, where same-sex couples have the right to be married. And before you think I'm going to sit here and bash that marriage is between man and woman, I don't really care. I have the opinion of if the two people of the same gender want to get married and be as miserable as everybody else, have at it. They can be just as miserable as the guy and girl next to them. They have that right. I don't care. I don't, you know, in my personal opinion, you know, the whole argument of, you know, marriage is meant for Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, is about as dumb as I have ever heard.
Yeah, well, that one is entirely based just on religious belief, which, I mean, I've covered on my show before as well. I have gone into exactly what the Bible, for instance, has to say about the gay problem. And if you go back into my archives and listen, you guys will have an education on exactly what the Bible has to say about people who are gay. And by the way, it is not an abomination for those of you who keep mistranslating that word. The whole thing, all of it, every bit of the vitriol that Christians out there try to spew out at gay people is entirely baseless. They keep saying, oh, well, the Bible says this and the Bible says that. No, you don't have a freaking clue what your Bible says because you don't read it yourself and you don't read the original translations of it yourself. You are listening to your preacher who has the hate and vitriol in his mind and you are getting the education through him. You don't have a clue what it says yourself. Go into it, read it for yourself, and actually educate yourself on what it has to say. Now, with that rant and soapbox on, I just had to get that out of the way because 99% of the people that are out there that are against people getting married that are gay or against gays whatsoever are Christians. They're the ones that are the hyper-Christians, the hyper-religious type of people, and they're wrong in every way, shape, and form. And they really need to inform themselves about the truth before they really get themselves into trouble with the God that they profess that they follow. So, yeah. Anyways, moving on. So my stance on it, at least to this point, okay, because obviously there's a lot more depth that goes into all of this. But again, I mean, if you have listened to any of my shows, you obviously know that I don't have anything against people that are gay in any way, shape, or form. Again, like Joe says, you know, if they want to get married and have their thing, then they can be just as miserable as the rest of us. I don't have a problem with that. I have no issue with that. I have no issue with what anybody does in their bedrooms or in their houses that doesn't hurt anybody else. And people really need to get off their high frickin' horses and get to that kind of an understanding in their mind, because most people have more issues in their household themselves than most gay households do. So just kind of getting that out there as well. So,
holy crap. Hallelujah.
Where's my Tylenol?
Exactly. We should have actually had that soundbite ready.
I know. I need to get that soundbite because
the two of us, when we hit rants, ladies and gentlemen, watch Christmas Vacation. When the two of us hit rants, all you got to do is look at Chevy Chase and you will see my brother and I. We've done it. We do it all the time. His wife laughs her butt off every time we do.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I will say, though, too, is that any company that wants to, you know, or corporation or organization or whatever that wants to move themselves out of Indiana because of this stuff, they have that right to do so. It's perfectly legit for them to do so. Go for it. If that's how you want to voice your opinion on it, then go for it. Because the economic stuff does impact us. Now, my thing is, my big take, just at the outset of things, okay, right at the outset of things, is why were the people of Indiana not given the choice of whether or not we wanted something like this in our state? To me, that was absolutely wrong, because most of the people that are here in this state would have gone against it the way that it stands. They would have gone against it.
I agree. I definitely agree with you. You know, in the people that I have talked to over this last week, since I talked to you on Monday, you know, who know anything about this law, would have said, yeah, you know, okay, yeah, they're for protecting the businesses from being sued because they don't particularly want to do something, you know, that violates their personal beliefs. But the way this law is written, why was it brought up in the 11th hour, you know, in the dark of night and passed through without anybody ever reading outside of the state legislature, reading this bill? And, you know, why did our state senators and state congressmen not come to their constituents and say, hey, this is what we're doing. We would like your feedback. Is this something we should do?
Yeah, absolutely, especially with the way that the law is written. So let's get into that portion of things here, like right towards the outset of things, okay, Joe? The way that the law is written, and what Joe said on Monday is the truth. There are 20 other states right now that have laws that are similar to this RFRA that is here in Indiana now. There is also a federal one, and the ones that are in the other states are actually almost word for word what the federal law has to say. The one that is federal was signed in, I believe it was either 1993 or 1998 by Bill Clinton, basically, again, giving the ability for federal, you know, the federal jurisdiction basically means that people can't sue them on a federal level, you know, like businesses. So what the other states have done basically is they have essentially mimicked what the one federally states. Now, Indiana is different. The other states have in their RFRA laws, the stipulation that it is not to be like it's not used for discrimination, you know, that equal rights are in place with it all. The one in Indiana does not have that with it. Gays and lesbians and all of that kind of stuff, they are not included in the kind of, I guess you could say, exemptions to it all. Okay. So that is the basis of the problem that people have with this particular law. It's not necessarily that they have an issue with the fact that people want to protect themselves religiously and blah, 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 but it's the fact that it specifically excludes the LGBTQ community from being forced into this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So that's the issue at the baseline of things. And now, because of this, there is a massive amount of flashback coming to Indiana because of it. And rightfully so, I think. Rightfully so.
I agree and I disagree. The thing that I disagree with is the flashback on the state itself. Because, like you've stated, we were not consulted. Our leaders did this pretty much without even talking to anybody. And it was a knee-jerk reaction to losing the federal case. Yes, it was. I will agree with you on that.
I think too, it was also a knee-jerk reaction to them not being able to pass the Anti-Gay Marriage Act here in Indiana as well, because this
followed
right on the heels of that.
Right. We did not pass it was actually not the Anti-Gay Marriage Act. It was the Sanctity of Marriage Act.
You know what I mean. It's close enough. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Now, the thing is that, and I just lost my train of thought. Arrgh, I hate it when that happens.
Your thought train has gone off the rails. Yes, I won the argument. Show's over. Thank you very much, guys, for coming tonight.
No. You don't win the argument until I have to invoke the Antichrist Lawyers Union or Sonia Sotomayor. Then you win the argument. And that will not happen, ladies and gentlemen. It's only happened once in my entire 40 years of life, and it will never happen again.
And it was recorded on this show. well, my show, Open Eyes.
Yeah. And I hate the fact that is going to be recorded, that it is, you know, out there
in the posterity of the universe
forever, and I can never get it back. But does there need to be some sort of protection, not only for the LGBTQ community, but also for the businesses that, and again, I say 95% of the LGBTQ community, if they go into a business and they say, we do not want, you know, if you want to come in and you want to buy a cake for a birthday, you want to buy flowers for this, you want to buy whatever, fine. We will sell that to you. No problem. No question. We'll take your money and we will give you the most wonderful stuff you ever saw. But it is against our religious beliefs to participate in a same-sex wedding. Most of the people, 95% of those people will say, thank you for your understanding, thank you for your time, and we'll go on to the next shop. But there is about 5% that will fly off the handle, yell, scream, throw things, basically act like my one-year-old daughter, and throw a temper tantrum, and then go out and find a freaking lawyer and sue them. And that is what they need to be protect. Not that is what needs to be stopped. That is what needs, there needs to be protections in place, not only for the LGBTs, but also for the business owners, because both of what I just described are discriminatory practices.
Yes, I understand both that. Now let me toss this out real quick, okay? Because one of the things that has happened over the past couple of days is that, you know, not only is it bakeries that are getting hit with it, of course, but now a pizza place called Memories Pizza is getting, you know, firebombed basically because of them stating that they would not, you know, service somebody that was enacting a gay marriage or enacting a gay wedding or whatever. Okay. So they're it's all these different Christian businesses that are having this problem. And it's always seemed to be like the food places and all that kind of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So real quick, I wanted to quote you guys Romans 12, starting at verse 19. You ready for it? Let's get a little biblical.
Hang on. Got to get my duct tape.
It's going to get a little biblical.
We're going to start, to quote another great movie, Red Planet. If we're going to start talking about God now, I need another pop.
Okay, so Romans 12, verse 19 and 20, sorry. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but have room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
In other words, for those of you who, because when my brother quotes the Bible, he always quotes it in the original King James Version, not the new, not the NIV version, which is much more simpler language. I'm actually surprised you didn't quote it in Latin.
Well, context is important. Yes, context is important. The original language and the original words are essential. But listen, this is exactly what the Bible says. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. What are these people doing? What are these people freaking doing? They are doing every damn thing that is against Christianity, at least supposedly, allegedly, what Christianity is supposed to be about. They are as anti-Christ as you can possibly get. And they're wondering why I have an issue.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, ladies and gentlemen, before he lost his faith in organized religion, same as I did, my dear brother was studying to be a priest. Well, a minister.
A pastor in Southern Baptist Church, yes, but same difference. And yes.
A Southern, oh God.
Yeah, Southern Baptist preacher.
Fire!
I got the fire and brimstone in my veins.
Oh, joke.
But no, that is what the Bible has to say. And that is seriously the way that things need to be. Now, you're right. I did lose my quote-unquote faith in organized religion, but I think that I understand Christ much better now than I ever did when I was a professing Christian. Christ would never do any of this stuff. Christ was a servant. Christ went down with the thieves and the whores and hung out with them, trying to get them to understand the message of the kingdom of God is within you. It is within you. It is within you right now, right here. No questions asked. Nothing else needed. That's the good news. And when these people, when these Christians, and I use that word lightly, because they're not Christians. Okay.
With as much venom as he can throw into it.
They're not Christians. They're there at the party. They're wearing the clothes, but they are not Christians. These people are exactly the people that Christ referred to as when they come to me and they say, Lord, Lord, did I not cast demons out in your name? And did I not do great works in your name? And I will say to them, go away from me, you evildoer. I do not know you. That is exactly who he is talking about with all of this crap that's going on. These Christians that are out there that are doing everything that they can do to throw vitriol and hate at the people that they don't agree with are doing everything that they can do to act like the Pharisees and scribes who refused to offer the kingdom of heaven to people and instead kept them from the gates of heaven. And Christ had a lot of words to say about them people. He said exactly that what I'm saying here, that these people are not the ones who are going to enter into the kingdom. So they have to be very, very freaking careful about how they act and react to these gay people that they are supposedly having this big issue with. Because by the time that all is said and done, and they go before God and they face their maker on that day, and God says, what did you do to spread my message about the word of God and the word of truth and the light of my love? And they say, oh, well, we stood against all the gays who wanted to get married. And God looks at him and says, why did you do that? I told you to take care of those people, because if you take care of them and you're good to them and you show them the love that Christ has to offer, they're not going to get pushed away from me. Rant over. Sorry. But it's an important message, right?
It is. It is. And I'm not the biblical scholar my brother is. As I've stated before on this show and on his show, there's actually only one book of the Bible that I've ever actually read or studied, and that is the Revelations of John, only because it's probably, in my opinion, one of the most interesting books of the Bible.
Yeah, because there's a lot of rainbows and flowers in it, right? Oh, wait, no, that's because it's got death and destruction and doom.
Right, and I am a warrior, you know, and death and destruction and doom appeal to
me. It's kind of your forte. Like,
exactly. It's in my wheelhouse. But I do remember Christ saying something to the effect, there is no perfect man, or there is no perfect person, no, not one, and not through good works, but only through me shall you come to the kingdom of heaven. Something to that effect.
Yeah, and also
I may not be quoting it.
No, exactly. You've got the paraphrase pretty much correct, but it also says in the book of James that faith without works is nothing. And if you don't do works, if you don't do good works, then your faith is basically as ashes.
And now, is it somebody's right to believe that the LGBT community is sinful, is wrong? Yes, it is their right to believe that. Are they right?
No.
That's for them to decide.
That's for their judgment, basically. In my opinion, no, but that's for their judgment. Listen, to go with this, I want to play a clip. Okay, because we're on the subject of Christianity and gays and all of that kind of stuff. So I knew we'd enter into this topic, and I want to play a clip and get your thoughts on this, Joe. Okay, because you've never heard this clip before. I've never played it for you. So I want to get your thoughts on this after you've gotten done listening to it. So
this is a fresh listen. Yeah, never heard it.
It's about a minute and a half long. So here you go. Take a listen.
Oh, your little son starts to act a little girlish when he's 4 years old, and instead of squashing that like a cockroach and saying, man up, son, get that dress off you and get outside and dig a ditch, because that's what boys do. You get out the camera and you start taking pictures of Johnny acting like a female, and then you upload it to YouTube and everybody laughs about it, and next thing you know, this kid is acting out childhood fantasies that should have been squashed. Can I make it any clearer? Dads, the second you see your son dropping the limp wrist, you rock over there and crack that wrist. Man up. Give him a good punch. Okay? You're not going to act like that. You were made by God to be a male, and you're going to be a male. And when your daughter starts acting too butch, you rein her in. And you say, oh, no. Oh, no, sweetheart. You can play sports. Play them. Play them to the glory of God. But sometimes you're going to act like a girl and walk like a girl and talk like a girl and smell like a girl. And that means you're going to be beautiful. You're going to be attractive. You're going to dress yourself up. You say, can I take charge like that as a parent? Yeah, you can. You're authorized. I just gave you a special dispensation this morning to do that.
Praise Jesus.
Okay. Okay. On the first blush, it sounded like one of our favorite comedians. Oh, for flying Pete's sake, you've played me so many of his clips over the years.
Bill Hicks?
Yes. At first blush, I thought it was Bill Hicks, and then I realized I'm listening to a preacher.
This is actually a serious preacher. Yes, his name is Pastor Sean Harris. I believe he was from South Carolina, if I remember correctly. It's either South Carolina or North Carolina.
And I will guarantee you that he is of the Southern Baptist persuasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely Southern Baptist on that one.
Now, okay, I have an 8-year-old son. I have a picture of him in a pair of my combat boots when he was like 4. Which is very funny because, you know, the caption I put with that picture is, boy, you got a long way to go to fill those boots.
Yeah, you got some big feet.
Right. And then the very next picture I have on my camera is him in a pair of my mom's high heels because they were sitting next to each other. And it's hilarious because, and again, the caption was, son, you got some real big feet to fill those shoes because my mom is a very successful, very powerful woman. Now, is my son gay? Not at all. That boy's got more girlfriends at 8 years old than I do, than I ever did, than I've ever had. I swear to God, that little boy has got girls that are chasing him all over school. And it scares the snot out of me. But I didn't walk over to him when he put my mom's shoes on and crack him on the ass and say, no, you're not going to act like that.
Unfortunately, a large amount of parents out there do exactly that, and right. It's really disgusting.
And it scars children.
Oh, yeah.
And I am, ladies and gentlemen, I am of the opinion that you spank a kid when they need spanked. You discipline them, whether it be talking to them, whether it be taking away privileges, or it be warm in the, flat of the hand on the round of the ass. I am of that opinion. I do approve a corporal punishment in the home with my child.
But like me, you would use it only as a last resort, basically.
Right. That is the last ego's talk, removing of privileges, whack.
Yeah.
And I do not use a belt. I do not use a paddle. I do not use any foreign object. It is flat of hand, round of ass, because what it comes down to, it's not about the pain, it's about the shock, oh my God, Dad just spanked me.
The indignation.
Right. And my son, when he's gotten spanked, when my son has gotten spanked, he does not like it. And he knows that when I draw that hand back to swat his butt, he knows he's pushed the point to the limit and gets the message real quick. And I've got a 1-year-old daughter. If my daughter wants to go out and play football, I'll be the first one in the stands going, yeah, because I guarantee you my daughter will knock some sense into somebody.
Yeah.
It would be like your daughter wanting to play football, which I think would be absolutely hilarious considering that, your daughter stands about...
She's a shrimpo.
She stands about 4'2" and weighs about what, 50 pounds?
Yeah, she's my little shrimpo. Listen, Joe, we actually need to take a break. We're already about 40 minutes in. So let's go ahead and get our first break here. And when we come back, I'll give you a chance here during the commercial to kind of get your salient thoughts together as far as that thing was concerned and maybe how it relates to this whole RFRA stuff. So, guys, stick around with us.
My thoughts are a little scattered right now just for the simple fact that, you know, it's just the – huh?
Yeah.
Factor?
Yeah. The absolute bull crappery that goes on with that whole quote. Yeah. Trust me, I could go on about that one. And I have for quite a while. So I'll give my thoughts on it as well when we get back from these messages. Hold on, guys. We'll be right back. Ben Franklin said, if you do the same thing tomorrow as you did today, you're going to get the same tomorrow as you got today. Changing the world starts with you, and changing you starts with changing the way you think. Late Night in the Midlands can help. Listen to all of our shows at latenightinthemidlands.com because things really do need to change.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of latenightinthemidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of latenightinthemidlands.com and help us help you.
Draw the line between protection of national security, obviously the government's need to obtain intelligence data, and the protection of civil liberties, particularly the sanctity of my home. You've got no right to come into my home.
The government's been in bed with the entire telecommunications industry since the 40s. They've infected everything. They get into your bank statements, your computer files, your email, listen to your phone calls, every wire, every airwave. You're talking to your wife on the phone, you use the word bomb, president, Allah, any of 100 key words. The computer recognizes it, automatically records it, red flags it for analysis. That was 20 years ago.
Sooner or later, you have to bring in an element of persuasion, an element of getting people to consent to what is happening to them. We are in process of developing a whole series of techniques which will enable the controlling oligarchy to get people actually to love their servitude.
Brothers at Arms is not about being militant, though there is a time and place where that is necessary. Brothers at Arms is not about arguing, though there are times where things may get heated. Brothers at Arms is not about who is right or wrong. There are many sides to each issue. Brothers at Arms is about exploring those sides, about dealing with the issues facing us today, about coming together and, through opposing views, understanding the deeper truths that are in the middle. Join Ira Robinson and Joe Long each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on latenightinthemidlands.com as these Brothers at Arms discuss what you need to know. Brothers at Arms, it's about time.
They went into the homes now, the powers that be, and told us that you cannot discipline your children anymore. And if you discipline your children, you were going to jail. Then they went into the public schools and took discipline out of there. So when we acted up in there, they put our boys into something called special ed classes. And as you know, those special ed classes are nothing but holding cells until they can go to the state prison. If we can have them convicted for a felony, then once they get out of prison, they cannot get a job because of that. And then if they happen to eke out and find a job, then they have to pay taxes on a job, yet they cannot vote. I call that taxation without representation. They did a grand thing when they took that discipline away from us, because when they made our parents afraid to discipline the children, then what happened? We found out that the teachers were afraid of the principals were scared of the superintendents, superintendent was scared of the school board was scared of the parents, parents were scared of the children, and the children ain't scared of nobody.
Morning, sir.
Morning. Flight leaves in an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, fine. We're going home. What about you?
Well...
Did you have a pleasant flight, Joe?
I always have a pleasant flight. That is such great music. I got to get you to send me that link just so that I can. That's great. I could definitely see myself meditating to that for a long time.
Oh, yeah, that's got some deep groove to it, man. I love that one. I just ran across that one the other day. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is, not Open Eyes. This is Brothers in Arms. I'm Ira Robinson.
And I'm Joe Long, and I swear to God, one of these days, I'm going to come up there, and I'm going to swat you in the head for that.
So sorry.
I know you've got several shows, but come on, man.
I need to at least pay attention to the one that I'm on, right?
Exactly, man. I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with the topic that we are discussing tonight, because it is a very emotionally charged, a very, very emotionally charged topic. And for those, thank you for staying with us through that break, and welcome back. And before we went to break, Ira had played a clip of a Southern Baptist preacher basically saying that if your children, no matter what age they are, start exhibiting homosexual type behavior, you are to intervene. You are to beat them, or
yeah,
you are
basically,
to...
basically through religious permission... abusing your child just because they happen to be acting in a way that you don't approve of.
Which I would like to say this. Can I beat him? Please.
Yeah, I would totally condone that. I mean, at least according to him, that's acceptable. I mean, I'm going to give you a special dispensation so that you would have permission to be able to do so. Oh, but you see, okay. a lot of pastors that are out there, they do exactly that kind of stuff. They'll say, oh, well, I'm giving you a special dispensation. The Holy Spirit is telling me that this is what you need to do. Just because they don't approve of it, they use the Holy Spirit as an excuse to be able to tell their flock whatever it is that they want to do. And the flock, you know, as a general rule, the people that are sitting out there in the pews, they don't do the research themselves. They just listen to whatever the pastor is saying, and whatever he says goes.
Thank you, Mr. Pastor.
Exactly. I have another one.
But a bunch of sheeple.
Well, listen, I have another one, okay, for you that will, I guess, put all of the stuff into perspective. Are you ready for it? This is exactly how people that stand against all of this kind of stuff sound, at least to me. Okay? You ready for it?
Hit me.
Go for it. Okay.
Hi, honey. What's wrong?
They're trying to make gay marriage legal.
Oh, my God. What's going to happen to our marriage?
I don't know.
But I don't want to get a divorce or marry a woman.
I know. Why do these gays want to destroy our civilization?
I'm so scared. Mommy, Daddy, if gay people are allowed to get married, will you still love me?
Let's just hope it doesn't come to that. Help keep straight couples from getting divorced and hating their children. Oppose gay marriage. Paid for by the coalition of people whose lives are ruined whenever other people are treated equally.
And that is so true. I mean, this whole debate, this whole gay marriage debate is nothing more, nothing less than pure fear-mongering. That's what it is. It's also about the $50 billion wedding industry and the $100 billion organized religion industry.
Yeah, the organized religion industry is a huge moneymaker. I mean, it's so ridiculous that when you look at some of these mega churches that are around the nation, for instance, and, you know, speaking specifically here for America, because that's what I know the best, some of these mega churches make more money than small towns do.
Exactly. And to quote George Carlin, they take in billions in revenue and pay zero in taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, if you want a great quote about religion and money, I'll just give you the quote from L. Ron Hubbard, who started Scientology. Before he started Scientology, he said, the best way to make money is to start a religion. And he did. And boy, he made a lot of money.
I mean, yes, L. Ron Hubbard was the book Dianetics, which is what founded Scientology.
Yeah.
I mean, before that, L. Ron Hubbard was making money hand over fist as a science fiction writer. Then he wrote Dianetics and became a religious leader.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, he made a bet with somebody that he could start a religion and make a lot of money off of it, and he did. He won that bet. But
one of the biggest stars in the world is a Scientologist.
Yeah, Tom Cruise.
Exactly. And the man's not. I mean, I love most of his movies, but the man's loonier than a tune.
Yeah, most definitely. And a lot of it is because of Scientology.
Oh, yeah.
Flat out. And that's been proven. But anyways, that's kind of getting off the point a little bit. But when it comes to people having these opinions, including us, you know, obviously everybody out there, you know, has an opinion. And opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. But,
In our case, we have several.
Yeah, we have multiple. So, but
opinions, not assholes.
Yeah. Need to clarify that. But, you know, the idea behind the RFRA, I understand the reasoning for it. Okay, don't get me wrong with all the stuff that I've been saying as far as my opposition to it is concerned. There is a reason for it, and I understand it. It's fine. Whatever. But
your opposition is the implementation, not the reason.
My opposition for it is the amount of discrimination that happens because of a bill that's like this, because of a law that's like this. I come from a minority, both in two different ways. Okay. Number one, I'm a Native American. So that alone is a minority. But number two, I'm a disabled person. So that's a minority as well. Between the two, a law like this is easy to shift into one direction or another to allow anybody to be discriminated against. That is my main thing that I am against. I am against discrimination in any form. And I am also against anybody having any of their rights infringed upon. And now listen to my reasoning for this, okay? And I know you've heard me speak about this before, Joe, but when somebody has the potential to tell somebody else that they cannot do something, whatever that may be, and they get away with that, that opens the door for anything else to occur. So a good example that I give is against the anti-smoking stuff. Okay, so you have the whole anti-smoking thing out there. And yes, smoking is bad, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so you have all these things that are, oh, well, you know, we're gonna ban it from all public places. You can't smoke in any public place. Okay, fine. The smokers outcried against it, but everybody else who was not a smoker said, that's a great idea. You need to implement that right now. We have to have safety and security and blah, blah, blah. Okay, so next they said, because they got away with that, next they said, well, we can't have you smoking in any private businesses as well if other people go in there. Oh, that's a great idea. We need to have that because of those evil smokers, they're blah, 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 blah. They're destroying humanity and causing global warming and chaos and dreck, and they're bringing about the end of the world. Okay, so next step, after that got implemented, because, of course, the smokers outcried against it, but everybody else was like, yes, this is a great idea, do it. Next, they have tried to say, and they are getting away with it in a lot of locations around America, you can't smoke in your car. Well, that's private property. You can't smoke in your home. Well, that's private property. There was just a case that was won 2 months ago or a month ago, I think.
We talked about it on this show.
Yeah, where this court ordered that a couple could not smoke in their home that they owned because their piping was connected to somebody else's house and the other people sued them for it. So where does the line get drawn? You see, when you start taking rights away from people, when you start infringing upon things, that opens the door for everything else to be done as well. Look, if you got a problem with gays, that's fine. You're allowed to think that way. I have no issue with you thinking that way. If you're
we are
doing
not
it,
the thought police.
No, we're not the thought police at all. If you have an issue with gays, fine. So be it. Speak your opinion about it. That's fine. Whatever you want to do, you have the First Amendment right to speak however you want to do. At the same token, or at the same time, I guess you could say, you have to consider that if you have the ability to infringe on their rights, anybody else can infringe on yours as well. And it is just as easy to do and just as quick it can happen to you. Look at Nazi Germany as a great example of that. They had freedoms. They had rights. They had the ability to, you know, free speech and blah, blah, blah over in Germany before World War II, before Hitler came into power and the Nazi Party took over Germany. When they took over everything, people didn't outcry about it. They didn't speak about it because they had this idea of national pride and, oh, everything is okay. Until they started knocking on the doors and started putting people into these camps. And then people started to say, whoa, wait a minute. what's going on here. And by then, it was too late.
Exactly. Now, you know, I'm not, this law needs to be clarified. This law needs to be amended. Not done away with, not repealed, but clarified and amended. And the another big problem that I have, and you can see several articles that we have posted in the show notes about this, is the fact that, you know, I can understand people like George Takei speaking out about this because he is a member of that community.
Sure, he has a dog in the fight.
But we have people from Miley Cyrus, who that little girl wouldn't know her ear from her elbow. She ain't lived long enough. To Charles Barkley, who's been hit in the head one too many times with a basketball. To, you know, Andy Cohen. You know, we've got all these Hollywood types that are bashing Indiana.
Yeah, even Stephen King basically said that it's nothing more than a polished turd. So.
Right, and you know what? I was leaving him out for a reason. I'll get to Stephen in a second. You know, these people don't have a dog in a fight. They're just latching on to the controversy of the moment to increase their name recognition, to make them, you know, be
sure, they're getting retweets on their Twitter feeds.
Right, and they're looking, and it's also the whole, oh, you know, they're the guilty white liberals. They have money. Oh, we're so guilty because we have money and we have fame. We shouldn't have that. We should give it back to somebody. Hello, I'll give you my address. You can send your money and fame to me. I'll take it, and I won't feel a bit guilty about it. I'll split it with you, Ira.
Sounds good to me. I'll make use of it.
Now, on the subject of the master. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did call Stephen King the master. He is the modern master of horror in the United States, and he's also another personal hero of mine and my brother's. We love the man dearly. As a matter of fact, my last vacation that I took was to New England, and my mother would not allow me, because it was a family vacation, I was with my mother, she would not allow me to enter the state of Maine, because if I had, I would have gone king hunting. And I would have found them. But Stephen actually does have a dog in this fight because as a child, Stephen King split his time between the state of Connecticut and the state of Indiana. So in a way, Stephen King is a Hoosier. He is an Indiana boy. Yes, does he live in the state of Maine now? Yes. But if you've ever read any of his works, a lot of them take place in two fictional towns in Maine. Derry and Newcastle. Thank you. But he also has written several books that take place in the state of Indiana, in towns in Indiana. So when he says that, I actually listen to him. It's like, aha, this is another Hoosier who said that this is a tantamount to a polished turd.
Yeah, a direct quote from him here. This was what he had to say about it. Indiana's Religious Freedom Restoration Act is gay discrimination, pure and simple. You can frost a dog turd, but it's still a dog turd.
And you know what? Stephen King may be one of the master wordsmiths of our generation, but when it comes to speaking in plain language, he is a pure-born Hoosier.
Yes, definitely. Now, one thing I wanted to get to is why... Like getting into the actual text of the act, okay? Because this is important. This is where people are getting things very confused, okay? Again, this one is different than the ones that are elsewhere, okay? In Section 5, this is where the most controversy kind of comes into place, okay? In Section 5 of the law, it says, as used in this chapter... Exercise of religion includes any exercise of religion, whether or not compelled by or central to a system of religious belief. So, first off, on this specific section here, note that there's a lack of any kind of like restrictive type of language in this section, okay? The word includes is deliberately used in place of means. the word means would at least limit any exercise of religion to the predictable definition, you know, but includes right. means that it's this, you know, that this is just one example of exercising religion.
Right. And by the literal definite, by the literal, you know, I am a strict constructionist. What the law says, and if you take that in a strict constructive sense, this basically gives me the right to say, I, in the exercise of my religious beliefs, am going to shoot you.
Yes.
In the head.
Yes, exactly. In fact, this section of things is the reason why, as of now, we have an application in Indiana to start the first church of cannabis. Because according to the law, according to this law as written, essentially, anything that you do that you claim to be then a religious belief or you did it for religious reasons is acceptable and legal regardless of its civility or criminality. There's no language that limits if a criminal action is going to fall under the purview of this religious belief exercising.
You want to join that church, don't you,
brother? I do. I do indeed.
It might help your hydrox.
Hydrox, yeah.
It might help. Which the state of medical marijuana in Indiana is for another show.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana is actually one of the more draconian states in the union as far as marijuana is concerned. You can go to jail for a year just for having a joint here. It's sad. Another section.
You can go to jail for 6 months for having spice.
Yeah, exactly. Another section, section 7. This part states, as used in this chapter, quote unquote, person includes the following. Number one, an individual. Number two, an organization, a religious society, a church, a body of communicants, or a group organized and operated primarily for religious purposes. Number three, a partnership, a limited liability company, a corporation, a company, a firm, a society, a joint stock company, an unincorporated association, or another entity that A, may sue and be sued, and B, exercises practices that are compelled or limited by a system of religious beliefs held by I, an individual, or II, the individuals who have control and substantial ownership of the entity, regardless of whether this entity is organized and operated for profit or nonprofit purposes. So the danger within this aspect of this law is that it becomes self-fulfilling, basically. So, for example, let's say that a hotel with a religious owner refuses service to a person based upon his religious beliefs. Now, even if that person had not previously exercised such belief practices, this law, which requires no more than two religious practices that fall into this category, would allow the corporation to begin discriminating in the name of free exercise. You know, freely exercising their rights. And remember the earlier section, how broadly exercising that religious rights has been defined or
exactly.
not defined.
Which is why there needs to be a clarification and a revision, not a repeal of this law. And I'm sure you'll agree with me on that. There needs to be a clarification and revision.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, this all...
But the thing is, even if they clarify and revise this law to make it in line with the other 19 states and the federal, the militant 5% are still going to try to boycott Indiana because they didn't get their way.
Well,
and
sir.
That is what I have a major problem with.
Well, sure, but they're within their rights to do so. They're within their rights to act stupidly if they want to. Okay? That's well in their means to do so.
And the thing is that as of March 31st, Governor Pence held a press conference and he announced that he is going to talk to the state legislature to do just that, to have a clarification and a revision of this law. But has the firestorm died down one whit, one jot, one tittle, one iota? No.
Well, no, because it's part of the media cycle now, Joe. They're playing it for everything that they can do. So, you know, for whatever reason, there's various reasons they're doing it for advertising money, or they're doing it to cause more division, and on and on and on. Section 9. I want to read this one off here real quick, because this is the one that talks, or, you know, that goes into the idea of the regardless of civil or criminal. Okay. Mm-hmm. Section 9 says, a person whose exercise of religion has been substantially burdened, or is likely to be substantially burdened, by a violation of this chapter may assert the violation or impending violation as a claim or defense in a judicial or administrative proceeding, regardless of whether the state or any other governmental entity is a party to the proceeding. If the relevant governmental entity is not a party to the proceeding, the governmental entity has an unconditional right to intervene in order to respond to the person's invocation of this chapter. Now, essentially what this means is that because of this law, you can defend yourself in a criminal or a civil action on the very broad basis of any exercise of religion. So that's where the idea comes in of being able to do anything illegally and be able to get away with it, because there is no provisions in this law that states otherwise.
Exactly. And like I said, on your show on Monday, when we first started talking about this, I had not read the entire text of the law. And that's where our major division came in on that. I have now read the entire text of the law, as you have, and I agree with you as far as it is overly broad. This law violates not only the state but federal constitution. Oh, wait a minute. Did I just say constitution?
That funny little word.
Huh?
That's a funny little word, isn't it?
Yes, it is. But so these laws, this law itself would never survive a court challenge. It would never survive a challenge like that because it is overly broad.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that will make a law unconstitutional. It is overly broad.
Right. It has such a barn door open wide kind of tactic to it that it's like they want it to go there, you know? I mean, look, like I said,
and that may be the guy that wrote this law. That may have been his original intent. Let's get this in front of a court somewhere, and then we can attack gay marriage through the back door.
That's exactly what I was about ready to say. Yes, that what they're doing with this is they are starting this firestorm to get attention, number one, to divert away from the other tactics that are being used. I mean, you know, like I said, this law comes on right on the heels of the whole gay marriage ban thing in Indiana as well. I mean, that was a firestorm in and of itself that we had here in Indiana.
Yes, it was. And again, we have no problem with gay marriage. They have just as much right to be miserable and be whatever as anybody else. And I quote Robin Williams from a great movie called Man of the Year, where he was running for president. He goes, I don't understand what the whole controversy is about same-sex marriage, because anybody that's ever been married knows it's always the same sex.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You get to the point, especially old people sex, you know, what's old people sex? You pass each other in the hallway. Screw you. Ah, screw you too. You know,
that's the, you know, Ira, you and I, then you and I have gay old people sex.
I guess so. We do that all the time. Yes, exactly. Okay. So listen, I want to change the subject just slightly. I'm feeling a button tonight, Joe. You felt a button as far as the RFRA was concerned, and I'm feeling a button tonight as well.
And I pushed that button.
You did.
And we've really, really, you know, I pushed that button on Monday, and we have really gotten down to the meat and potatoes of this subject. And I think we've given people a lot of good information on this RFRA.
Yeah. I at least wanted to make sure that people actually heard what the law stated, you know, the words that it used, because again, context is important.
Right.
The big thing with this law is that it is different than all the others. No matter what all of the media moguls out there are trying to claim, it is different.
And the switch that it flipped in me wasn't so much the law itself, which does need to be altered, was the firestorm that came with it. And it's again something that you and I have talked about on this show over and 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 over. Sorry, got into a loop there. And it is the radicalism, the extremism.
Yeah, any kind of extremism.
And that is what we, you know, yes, are we extreme at times? Yes, but we are extreme against extremism.
Yes, exactly.
So we're
that
trying,
would be what I'm
we're
radical
trying to cancel
against.
Each other out.
Yeah, that would be what I'm radical against. I push just as hard against radicals as they push themselves, you know?
So we're trying to do the whole, you know,
canceling out.
Yeah, force negative situation here.
Yeah, exactly.
So what button is it that you need to push? What button is it that you need to just mash on and jump up on a soapbox and let's get on.
You're the one that pushed the button because you started talking about the whole religious stuff with it.
Uh-oh. Sorry, folks.
I gotta touch on it a little bit more because man, I'm feeling the passion tonight about it. So, you know, again,
I'm feeling the spirit.
So again, yeah, I'm feeling the spirit, man. So again, for all of you who are easily offended, turn this off right now.
Because if you don't, you're gonna really get offended.
Yes. Okay. So this follows on the heels of what we discussed before the break with the pastor that was advocating child abuse as a reason or as a stop holder, you know, for stopping your children from acting gay or whatever. Okay, so there's another quote that I have for you guys here. I have another clip for you. I would like to get your thoughts on this, Joe, before I start in on my ranting. So,
yeah, because I won't be able to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, now I'll let you guys know you're probably only going to hear this out of one ear. Sorry about that. There's nothing I can do about it. This is the way that the original clip was, and there's not really anything that can be done about it. So take a listen to this. Anyways, go ahead and listen to this.
There was a young man in Calgary. His name was Ben. And I was running a youth group. I was there for a few years. And he was a nice kid, but he was one of those kids that was always just, he's a real smart aleck. Was a bright kid, which didn't help things, right? Made him more dangerous. And we were outside one day, youth group, and he was just trying to push my buttons. And he was just, you know, kind of not taking the Lord serious. And I walked over to him, and I went, bam! I punched him in the chest as hard as I crumpled the kid. I just crumpled him. And I leaned over and I said, Ben, when are you going to stop playing games with God? I led that man to the Lord right there. There's times that might be needed.
Okay. Go ahead,
Joe. Okay, he led the man to the Lord right there by punching him in the chest? Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit about my religious background. I was raised Methodist, had a wonderful Methodist pastor until I was about the age of 11 or 12, and then he moved. Man was one of the most humble, one of the most quiet, one of the funniest. You know, he never used vitriol. He never used divisive stuff in his sermons. And on Sundays, he'd always have the children about halfway to three quarters of the way through the service come up and sit on the riser, the steps that would lead up to the altar. And he would sit down there with them and he would talk to them. And that's how he shepherded his flock. And then he moved away and my parents and I searched for a new church. And about the time I was 14, we pretty much stopped going to church because we couldn't find one we liked. And I started looking around for something to, I don't want to say believe in, something to aspire to, something that was larger than myself. And the more I did, the more I turned to my ancestry, my heritage, which is Irish. And that is when I discovered my Druidic roots. And I have grown and blossomed in those since I was about 14. Never once have I been interacting with other Druids or interacting with the female side of the Druidic horn. There are female Druids, don't get me wrong, but the female side of the Druidic of that particular coin would be our Wiccan sisters. Never once have I walked up to any of them, punched them in the chest, and said, "When are you going to stop playing games with the Great Spirit and Mother Earth and the Mother Goddess?" Never. That is not the way you bring somebody around to your religious beliefs. That's the way you get charged with assault, especially on a kid. Another Southern Baptist, isn't he?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, Calvary, talking about Calvary, that's one of the biggest Southern Baptist churches in the world.
Yeah.
So what's your take on it, my dear Native brother?
Okay. So for those of you who don't know, I'll tell you my religious background as well. I know if you've listened to my show, Open Eyes, at any point in time, you've probably heard it. But I'll go through it again just to give you the basis of where I come from and why my opinions are the way that they are. Okay. So my mother was a Catholic. My dad was an atheist. They sent me to a Lutheran school, and we went to a Baptist church. My background is pretty diverse as far as religion is concerned.
No, that's not diverse, Ira. That's clinically that's clinical insanity being forced upon, or clinical schizophrenia being forced on a child. I don't know which.
One or the other would fit, I think, pretty well with me.
Well, you do introduce yourself sometimes to people you don't know and don't particularly like is, "Hi, my name is Crazy. If I start to like you, I might tell you my name."
Yeah. Well, and I always introduce myself as, "Hi, my name is Ira, and I am the strangest person that I've ever met." And I try to prove that every day. So anyways,
ladies and gentlemen, I can attest to that. He is the strangest person I've ever met. He is the strangest person he's ever met. And he's talking to the second strangest person he's ever met.
Yep, exactly. So my thoughts on this person and I use that word lightly, is essentially this person is, again, about as anti-Christ as you can get, okay? That was not the Holy Spirit that moved him to do that. That was his own violence that moved him to do that. Of course he got the kid to accept God that day. He didn't have a choice. You forced him into it. God... The God, let's say, of the New Testament, now not necessarily the one of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament did not state that you come to him by the sword. Far from it. Okay? This person is doing the exact same thing as the idea of the Crusades.
Which, I quote another great movie, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And Kevin Costner said it. My father said it was vanity to force other men to our religion.
Yeah. And okay. So, you know, at the end of the quote there, he says, you know, sometimes you have to do that. Sometimes it's necessary to do that. No, it is never necessary to do that. If somebody is following your Christ based upon fear, they're not following Christ. They're following your version of Christ. You see what a lot of people out there do is they invent a version of the Christ that they think they're following. They never read the Bible for themselves. This is especially prevalent in churches and in different Christian denominations, of which there are 35,000 different ones, by the way. A ridiculous
and all of them
amount.
Argue and bicker amongst themselves.
Every one of them thinks that they're the right one and that the others are wrong, okay? That the others are heathens, pagans, and they're going to hell. Okay, which is another subject entirely. There is no concept of hell in the Bible. We might get to that tonight. But
well, and the thing is, of that 35,000, one of the most humble and least offensive of them actually is here, is very prevalent here in Indiana, also pretty much through most of the Midwest and in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the Amish. Amish and Mennonite, yeah.
And they are the most humble. You know, if you don't believe what they believe, they look at you, they pat you on the arm and say, that is your right. You are in English. And they move on. They don't try to convert you. They just, they smile at you. They help. They've got a very servant. They're very Christ-like. If you want to know the truth, they have a very high servant mentality.
Right. And that's what I was going to try to get to is that, listen, let me put it to you this way. Let me just finish my thought here. Okay. When you are worshiping or following something that is not actually what was written in the texts, that's a false idol. You're worshiping a false Christ. And those are the false Christs that are spoken about in the Bible. When you create your own Christ, you are creating your own God. You are creating your own salvation through that Christ. Okay. But is that the reality? And I'm not going to get into whether or not the whole thing is real or not. That's not the subject here. But is that the reality? Is that the real Christ that is spoken about in the Bible? No, it's absolutely not. The person who is there, this pastor, okay, this guy has no clue what the actual real Christ is about. He has no clue. This guy is a violent offender, not a servant. That's the main difference.
I would almost say violent sociopath, if you want to know.
Well, yeah, there's that there, too. So, listen, we actually need to catch our second break. But I want to definitely finish up that thought when we come back from this break. There's a little bit more that I have to add to it as well. So I hope that you guys are enjoying this episode so far. And if we've offended you, well, you can always tune in later. Anyways, so stick around with us.
And you were warned.
Yeah, you were fairly warned. Exactly. So stick around with us, guys. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
There is a better radio show. Beyond that which is known to the people, it is a radio show more informative than others, and as timeless as infinity. It is the equilibrium between light and dark, between the sheeple and the paranormal, and it is heard at the base of man's ignorance and at the summit of his knowledge. This is the radio show of imagination, a show we call The Secret Teachings.
We believe in the truth of the following statements. All people are created equal, and they are created with certain rights no one should ever take, including life, liberty, and trying to do what makes them happy. To make sure people have these rights, we create government that gets its power from the people being governed. And if any form of government starts destroying these rights, it's also their right to alter it or do away with it, and then to install new government, which they feel is the most likely to give them safety and happiness. We're not saying that governments that have been in existence for some time should be changed or tossed aside lightly on a whim. In fact, experience shows us that people are more likely to suffer under evil government as long as they can stand it, rather than to stand up and do something. But when they're abused for a long time, and the things that belong to them are increasingly taken away for the same reasons and benefiting the same tightly knit group of people who rule with absolute political power, and then it's the people's right and their duty to throw off that kind of government and to find new guardians of their future.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. Hello there, everybody. Welcome back to Brothers at Arms. Thank you so much for sticking around through that break. We really appreciate it. My name is Ira, and I am here, as always, with my brother in arms and brother at arms, Joe Long. Hello, Joe.
Yo.
So, dude, I'm still
got the whole militant vibe going now.
Yeah, that was some good tunes there. Before we go on, let me please remind everybody that as of Monday, April 6th, the Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is going 24/7 live entertainment 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays included. It's going to be a very exciting change coming. And you're going to hear a lot more probably of our shows. They're going to go into kind of a rotation so that if you miss a show here and there, you'll be able to catch it during the week as well. And we're really excited to bring the changes to you guys. So bear that in mind. As of Monday, April 6th, things are going to be changing. The Late Night in the Midlands is moving away from Spreaker.com, which is what they're currently on. So you guys won't be able to hear the archives there on latenightinthemidlands.com anymore. However, all of our shows will be archived on our website, which is openeyesnetwork.com. The show notes for this show in particular are openeyesnetwork.com/BA004. So, Joe.
And also, since this is our fourth show, being able to find the back archives of Brothers at Arms as well as Open Eyes on our website.
Yes, absolutely. As well as iTunes and various other places, we'll be putting everything out on there as well. So just wanted to let you guys know, as far as the changes are concerned, you know, these are changes that are coming up. So since this is the last show that you guys will be hearing before that particular time, you know, the changes come on, you guys need to know about this. Now, our time and date, you know, will not be changing. Will still be aired on Thursdays. The new episodes will be aired on Thursdays at 7 o'clock PM Eastern Standard Time. And you will definitely be able to go to latenightinthemidlands.com and go to, you know, there will be a player there that you can click play on and be able to hear it live as it's all happening. So yeah, just wanted to make sure that you guys knew and understood the changes that would be coming. So before we took the break, we were discussing the issues of religion, especially relating to Christianity, but this could apply to all religions as well. I mean, the Muslim radical, extremes.
Radical Islam, that's how they believe that you convert or die.
Yeah, exactly. It's conversion by the sword, and it's always been that way. Whether or not people try to claim that it's a religion of peace or not, they're lying to you. It absolutely is a religion of the sword. Christianity, if you get into the way that things started off, it definitely started off that way as well. So Christians don't really have a leg to stand on when they argue against Muslims doing the things that they do. But again, getting into the idea of the differences, I guess, you know, one of these days here real soon on Open Eyes, I'm going to do an episode that's dedicated to Christianity versus Christ and go into the actual differences that are within the Christian realm of thinking, you know, the mainline sort of Christian thinking and the actual things that Christ had to say about things. So look forward to that. I might actually do that next week. I'm kind of getting a passion about it at this point. And
I'm probably going to have to be there just as the voice of temperance.
But I will rant.
If I'm going to be there, I'm, even though I am several miles away, I'm still putting on my helmet and flak jacket. I've heard him get into these rants before, ladies and gentlemen. I've been in the same room with him when he gets in these rants before. Things start flying when he gets in these rants.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing about it, that about all of the stuff that we've been talking about tonight in relation to the RFRA, the Christians that are against gays and all that kind of stuff. I mean, look, what it comes down to is a matter of hypocrisy. The people, and this is just a psychological fact, okay, but people who are so vehemently against things, as a general rule, not all the time, but about 90% of the time, are doing it because they themselves have this in their background, or they have this in their psychological makeup, and they're doing what they can do to fight against other people that are doing it because they themselves can't face it in themselves. So they're always against it. And this is a big in the gay field, you know, that people who are really radical against gays and against gay marriage and all of that kind of stuff, if you look into actually the truth of the matters, 90% of the time, it's because they themselves have had either gay encounters in their life and they're sickened by it or they're disgusted by it. They have had the feelings, you know, regarding gays, you know, that they've been attracted to another person of the same sex or whatever. and, or they have actually been busted doing it themselves. I mean, you know, how many religious leaders out there have come out in the news that are like really hyper against gays, right? And they get busted in a hotel room with a male escort and a pound of coke, you know?
Ah, Jerry Falwell.
Well, he's just one among many. I mean, there are a lot of them that are out there that end up falling into this kind of activity.
Right, and it comes down to an old quote, Ira. Methinks he doth protest too much.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a reason for that quote. Again, it's because that psychology is there in the background. So that's something that I am, I guess you could say, dead set against. Why cause harm to another person just because you can't man up, get some testicular fortitude, and admit that you have an issue?
Exactly. And, you know, man up, or in this case, pink up. Rainbow up. And yes, I know I do that entirely too well. You do it better. You know you do.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if you want to be with a guy, do it. You know, I know somewhere in the Bible it says love this. And or no, it does not say this, because you corrected me on this many years ago, that it does not say love the sin or hate the sin, love the sinner. And, you know. Okay, so in the Bible, it says somewhere about a man shall not lie with a man like he does with a woman.
Yeah, that's in Leviticus. That's Leviticus 18. That's the verse that always comes up when people are vehemently against gays. It says that it's an abomination right here, and yet they don't go into all the other 113 other abominations that aren't covered,
including,
you know,
eating shellfish.
About, you know, there's 114 different abominations listed in the Bible. 113 of them have been discarded, and only one of them is paid attention to, and that is the gay issue. All the rest are forgotten, and we don't fall under the law anymore. We're exempted from it because we've had the salvation through Christ, and blah blah blah. Christ came to fulfill the law, not to destroy the law. On and on. This is hypocrisy. Absolute hypocrisy. Also, I will point out, again, like I covered in my episode on Open Eyes regarding this issue, I actually talked on the abomination issue. The translation of the Bible that you guys are reading is wrong. It's flat out wrong, because the original words, there are two different types of things listed in the Bible that are what would be translated as quote unquote abominations. There is the, God, I can't remember the exact name. I think it's Tinsa, and then there is Zima. Zima laws, the Zima abominations, are those that are against morality. So you have the Zima laws being things like killing another person. That would be Zima. That would be an abomination worthy of death, essentially. Okay. The other laws, the other ones like the gay thing, like the shellfish thing, like all of that kind of stuff, all of those fall into the other type of laws. And what those were was the Levitical laws that were regarding only the Levite priests. And it was only necessary because they had to maintain ritual purity. If they walked into the Holy of Holies with the presence of God while having any of these quote unquote sins on them or being ritually impure in any way, they would be instantly killed by the presence of God because of those things, because they were, again, ritually impure. That did not mean, though, that applied to everybody else. That was only the Levite priests that applied to. It was not even all the priests that applied to. It was only the Levite priests, the ones that were actually entering into the Holy of Holies. Those were the only ones that were impacted by it. So all of the other things, that are listed there are basically not applicable to the general population. But because people are freaks and they have mistranslated, misquoted, and listened to their preachers instead of actually reading the context and reading the original words in their original language with the original translations in place. They have everything completely confused. They have everything completely lost, and they are following a false god.
Well, but Ira, the main protagonist of the Bible, Lucifer, is a mistranslation.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is.
It was a mistranslation from the original Greek, or into the original Latin, into English in the King James Version. In the Latin, it's Luciferon, Lightbringer.
Yeah, Jerome in the year 400 AD, when he was given the translation orders by the Pope, I believe it was Pope Benedictus, if I remember correctly, Pope Benedictus or Pope Benefonte. It was one of the two. Anyways, he ordered Jerome, this monk, to create a new translation of the Bible that would be for the masses. It would be the Bible, the go-to Bible, because before this time, there were many different translations of the Bible. Many different things were being said in them, and so they wanted to have one go-to Bible that everybody would use and everybody would read from. So Jerome took all of the different translations of the Bible that were extant to that point and translated into a new version of the Bible what he called the Latin Vulgate, or the literally what the Latin Vulgate means. It's the Vulgate Vulgata, if I remember correctly. I don't have my notes in front of me right at this point, but don't call me out on it because I get it wrong. But anyways, the words basically translated means the Bible that is generally used, the Bible that is commonly used. That's exactly kind of what it says. But anyway, so when he translated the Isaiah 24 verse 19, if I remember correctly, is the verse that is in question with Lucifer. In the original translations, the words used were the morning star. Okay. The morning star is the words that were there. Okay. Now what he did was he gave the words Luciferon, light bearer, or morning star proper name status. And it was a mistranslation. It was an error in the translation. Since that period of time, from basically that point forward, this myth about this entity named Lucifer was basically created. Just like every other myth that's out there, this one was created as well. And by the time the year 1611 came around and King James ordered a new translation into English of the Bible, they only used the Latin Vulgate as the original source. So they left intact the mistranslation of Lucifer in that verse. And so the myth basically has perpetuated ever since. If you go into 2 Peter, I believe it's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, if I remember correctly. Again, please don't call me out if I'm incorrect. I'm trying to do this from memory. But in that verse, and you can look this up yourselves, in the verse there in 2 Peter, it's referring to Christ. The words that are there are referring to Christ in the talk that's there. But the words that are used are morning star, that basically Christ is the morning star. And the original Latin words there are Luciferon. So even Christ is referred to as this morning star thing. So how can you have the one without having the other, right? You can't have exactly the one and on the other hand have the other. So we're getting way off track, I think, but this is actually really important, I think. But
it is very important because it shows how, and I quote, I quote a lot of movies, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't like it, deal with it. I quote another great movie, Dogma, where Chris Rock said, people had a good idea and then they messed it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
They turned it into a faith. They turned it into religion, and religion and faith get twisted. The most common name for Lucifer, and it appears actually nowhere in the Bible, if I'm correct, is Satan.
Okay. Let me tell you this one then as well. Go ahead.
The word Satan is actually a bastardization of an ancient Hebrew word, shaitan.
Yeah, ha-shaitan, or the Satan is what the words are.
But shaitan does not mean Satan. It means enemy.
Well, adversary.
The opposer.
Yeah, adversary literally is adversary, yeah.
And yes, is this mythical character of Lucifer God's adversary? Yes, he is.
In the mythos, he is, yes.
Right. But the thing is that according to Christian doctrine, my brother and I are shaitan.
Well,
we are the adversary.
Even God is referred to in the Bible as Shaitan because he was adversarial against people. He stood against people, and he was referred to as being Shaitan in different verses in the Bible. So
and
even God was referred to as that.
That was our mediator, our go-between, our lawyer, if you want to know the truth. God, I hate lawyers. You know what you call 100 lawyers at the bottom of the ocean?
A good start.
Thank you. You know sharks won't eat. You know why a shark won't eat a lawyer?
Yeah, they don't practice cannibalism.
Professional courtesy.
Oh, well, there you go.
Got to add a little humor in. We've been getting real serious tonight. Got to put a little humor in there.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right on the Satan issue. I mean, Satan, Lucifer, the devil—they've all been kind of cobbled together, and it's for one reason and one reason only: fear. Because the more people that they could put into this state of fear regarding some state of hell, some being that's going to be poking you with his fire stick for all of eternity, you know, all of this kind of stuff, all of it was designed for one purpose: to put butts in pews. That's the only reason. Hell doesn't even exist in the Bible. There is no hell according to the Bible. According to the Bible, they always point to Sheol as being hell. But in the original translations of the Hebrew word Sheol, it means grave. It does not mean hell. It is literally the destruction of the soul. The soul no longer exists once you have reached the state of Sheol. And then they'll point to Gehenna. Gehenna was not hell. Gehenna was an area outside of Jerusalem that all the trash got tossed into and was caught on fire to burn away. That was Gehenna. The word hell is totally a misconstruction. It's a distortion of the actual truth. But again, because it was an easy way to put butts in pews and to keep them there because people are too afraid of their eternal soul being destroyed, they've used it.
And up to and including the one book of the Bible that I have said many times that I've done a lot of research on, the Revelations of John. You know, they talk about the Antichrist. They talk about the beast in the fiery pit. And I don't know personally about the original Hebrew and the original translations, but, you know, people that would read the Revelations of John and read about the tribulation and the great tribulation and the final and the coming and the glorious appearing and all that, you don't think that going to put some butts in pews? Oh, doggy.
Absolutely. It was only for that purpose and that purpose alone. Listen, Joe, we're almost out of time, actually. You've got about 1 minute, maybe two, to get out some final thoughts.
My final thoughts on this, there are twofold. One, as far as religion goes, you know, I quote George Carlin, you know, you pick your myth, you take your chances, and you have fun. You know, and that's pretty much it. You know, and if you want to believe in Buddy Christ, watch Dogma, you'll laugh yourself senseless. As far as the Religious Freedom Restoration Act here in Indiana, yes, they are going to be working on it. There are going to be some changes made to it, and I am all for that. As far as the majority of our LGBTQ listeners, I do apologize if you were offended, but you were warned. And I do support your right to do what it is you want to do to make yourselves happy. Always, 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 always make yourselves happy, because nobody's going to do it for you. And if you try to live up to other people's expectations, it's just going to cause you to be miserable and unhappy. You got to do what's right for yourselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And to the 5% of the militants out there on both sides of this issue, you have every right to be stupid, but I also have every right to tell you, shove a cork in it.
It's a good way to put it. You know, as far as getting to a thought there that you brought up, you could have the attitude that I have. If you don't like me for who and what I am, screw you. There are 7 billion other people in the world who just might, and I'm not going to waste my time on you. The whole Religious Freedom Restoration Act itself can kind of boil down to that kind of attitude. For those of you out there that are so militant against these people and these businesses that don't want to support you, just deal with it. Just let it go. Just be fine. There are hundreds of other businesses out there that would be so grateful for your business that they will fawn over you in every single way. And they'll make sure that everything that you do and everything that you want in your wedding or whatever it may be is absolutely perfect. Quit being so militant about it. Just walk away. Know when to walk away. Know when to say, screw you, I'm going home. That's what it comes down to. That's kind of my final thoughts.
I'm going home.
Exactly. So,
me, yeah, you, yeah.
There you go. So, listen, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Brothers at Arms. I definitely appreciate it, and I know that Joe does too, right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. Thank you very much.
So if you were offended by this one, well, we're not really sorry because you were warned, right? But anyways,
come back next week and be offended again.
Yes, exactly. We're kind of good at doing that. So if you guys want to go to the show notes for this show, they will be at openeyesnetwork.com/BA004. If you want to send us an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. We definitely read all the emails that come in, and we love all the feedback that we get. Even the trolls. Fine, you know, send it away and we'll deal with it. If you want to go to our Twitter and Facebook, you can go to Open Eyes Network or Ira Robinson on both of those platforms. And basically, on Monday, I'm not sure what my episode of Open Eyes is going to be. And of course, we have no clue what our next episode of Brothers at Arms is going to be about because, well, we kind of do it on the fly.
It's whatever happens to tick us off the most that week.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. So, but pay attention to our Facebook. Pay attention to our website. We will let you know what all is coming up. So,
and if you guys have any suggestions, please send them to us. We love to hear from you.
Absolutely. So, guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much, as always, for listening.